Hi, everyone, and welcome to Televisions, the podcast, an audio companion to the Televisions website and a show made by Anglophiles for Anglophiles. I'm Lacey Bogger-Miles, and I'm the editor here at Televisions, and joining me virtually, as usual, is my co-host and partner in crime, Miss Annie Bonnell.
Hello.
Hello.
This is usually where I would ask, how are you today? But I'm not going to ask that today. No. I'm not going to ask that because, like, today is, like, I don't know about you, but, like, today is the 1 year anniversary of the morning you messaged me and said, as soon as your shift at Elite Daily is over, drop everything and get to the office and get your stuff because we're going to be closed for the next, I don't know.
We originally, I believe, assumed that it was 2 weeks.
I feel like you told me that, like, it would be June at the latest that we'd come back. And here it is.
You mean last June?
Yeah, last June. and you know, here it is a year later, like literally to the day, a year later, and we might be going back in June. Still, a year.
Maybe. I mean, I am hopeful that the vaccine rollout is getting expedited and people are getting their shots, and consider this your general reminder, listening public, to please register as soon as you are able to do so, if not for yourself, for everybody else, so we can maybe leave our houses. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's a day of feels. And, like, honestly, like, you know, the first episode we recorded from home, which was, I believe, the next day, which, if I remember correctly, also took us all afternoon, was...
Actually, I believe it took us 4 hours. So... I hope that you all enjoy that we have figured out how to navigate this. This is actually, like, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure that we'll ever go back to recording in a studio. I don't know. That's a question for later.
Yeah. But the thing is, the episode we recorded, our first episode at home, was our spring 2020 preview. And here it is a year later.
Right.
And we're recording our spring. We should be recording our spring 2021 preview. And this is a little bit of, I guess, like, how your sausage gets made for our listeners. But unlike last year, where we had, like, a bunch of shows that were ready to go and that we were really excited about, like, you know, World on Fire and Call the Midwife and Baptiste and everything, you know, we're sitting
not
here.
Sure that I was, I'm not sure that I was excited for Baptiste.
I was. But we. The thing is that this should be our spring 2021 preview. And this is where the hole is, basically. The world shut down last March, and we haven't seen the effects of that on PBS. We've gotten, you know, we've gotten all our shows. We've gotten our Grantchesters. We've gotten our Endeavors. We've spent...
For once, our slightly delayed airing schedule worked in our favor.
Yes, but now this is where that delay hits us, basically 1 year on. And, you know, I participated in what's called the Television Critics Association press tour about a month ago, where we talked to the head of Masterpiece, Suzanne Simpson, and she talked a little bit about what happened in those very early days. You know, she saw that there were 5 productions that were immediately delayed, and so she just went in and started looking for projects right away, just in case lockdown went a little longer than everybody expected. And because she did that, we have shows to talk about, basically.
I mean, they're not the shows that you expect, and there's fewer of them than I think we would like, but... Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, like, the shows that we are expecting to see. And
we decided to call this the not spring 2021 preview.
Basically, it's our not spring 2021 preview. So the big show that Simpson got her hands on is a show called Atlantic Crossing. And this show is kind of it's a new thing for PBS. They for the first time they worked with a Norwegian and Sweden and Danish public television, excuse me, two production companies they'd never worked with before on this show. And it's a World War II show, a World War II period piece, that focuses on, instead of, you know, the UK in World War II or Germany or even America. What it actually focuses on is Princess Martha of Sweden, who was, I had vaguely heard of her as sort of the perhaps royalty might be lover of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in his late, in his last years. And he was sort of, she was sort of a figure that you really only heard about her in that, you know, capacity, that basically our president in his final, in his third and fourth terms, basically like struck up a relationship with royalty and was basically cheating on Eleanor. And we don't talk about that and sort of sweep it all under the rug. But actually, she was incredibly instrumental in protecting her countries from getting involved in the war, and in getting America to join into World War II, and convincing FDR that he that it was a moral imperative to come in to this war and to stop Germany. I've seen the first episode because they give those out to TCA people before we talk to people. I don't believe you've seen it yet, Lacey.
No, I have not. And to be honest, I am glad you're here to sort of explain it to me, because, like, kind of watching the trailers, I didn't get a really good idea of sort of what it is. Like, it's part in English and part in not English.
Okay. So since it's about, like, the Norwegian Crown Princess Martha, who was Crown Princess of Norway and Sweden at the time, and it's made by Norwegian and Danish television. Like, some of it is not in English. Some of it is in their their native languages. But it also stars an American. It stars Kyle MacLachlan, who people know from, I don't know what you actually know him from. I always think of Dune, though. I think the thing everybody thinks of now is Twin Peaks, as FDR. And, you know, honestly, I thought
I will have to say that I think of him as Charlotte's husband from Sex and the City.
Oh, that's a good point. Honestly, though, like, it was really hard for me to imagine that he was playing FDR. Like, he's such an iconic, there's such an iconic look to him that I sort of had trouble imagining him sort of disappearing into being a believable historical figure. And in the first episode, I was actually quite impressed by his performance and how much I bought him as FDR, instead of Kyle MacLachlan as FDR. Crown Princess Martha is played by a Swedish star named Sofia Hylén, who
is
I believe
another one of those things where she's like a big deal in Sweden, but we don't know who she is.
Yeah, she's a big deal in Sweden. I believe the only thing that Americans may have seen her in is The Bridge. Basically, she
like the real Bridge or the weird one FX tried to make about Mexico.
I think the real one.
Okay, because that one was popular here, even though it had subtitles and stuff. It's called like Borgen.
Yeah,
like that. I don't know. I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, but yeah.
So you know, this is going to be an 8-part series that's going to start in April. And honestly, it's a little strange because, you know, we think of Masterpiece as sort of being, you know, the place where we get British television, not just international stuff. It's sort of the difference between like Masterpiece and say like Acorn, which brings you like Miss Fisher. But I think this will be a really good one for us. Even though it doesn't sort of seem like it from the trailers, the impression I really got was that, you know, as I said, Crown Princess Martha is sort of this person who's been swept under the rug and is sort of that person that we don't talk about because we don't like to talk about the 1940s, how presidents had affairs that were kind of open. And in doing so, we've erased the story of a woman who did a huge amount of work towards making sure that...
No, we erased the story of a woman from history.
Exactly. And that this is...
What?
And that I feel like that this is giving us a chance to, you know, correct the record, basically. And I also will note that, you know, since Masterpiece doesn't really have any other shows to go with this, because, you know, none of the other shows that we were expecting to come back at this point are back, they're pairing it with a re-airing of World on Fire, which is another story of World War II where they tell the stories of the kinds of characters you don't usually hear from.
Yeah, consider this our exhortation, if you will, to watch World on Fire this spring if you did not see it last year. Because it is surprisingly great.
It is surprisingly great. And I think this it's a much better pairing with Atlantic Crossing than it was with Baptiste. Which, I mean, Baptiste, not that, not, I mean, yeah, Baptiste was not, Baptiste season one was not great. But honestly, also, Baptiste season one had nothing to do with, you know, a story, a period piece about World War II. Whereas these are two period pieces about World War II that kind of match each other in a way in the kind of stories they're trying to tell. And I feel like this is, I feel like they make a great double feature together.
I like that.
Yeah. So the question then remains, where did our actual shows go?
Yeah, it feels weird to be like, we're doing our spring preview and we've talked about the one show and now we're, that's our preview. Not really. There's more stuff coming on other various platforms, but we'll get to. But sticking in the PBS lane for the moment.
So Call the Midwife. We should be getting in the real in
on Earth to on Earth 2.
On Earth 2. Call the Midwife would be premiering at the end of March and running at, in the 8 o'clock slot as it usually does. And the good news is that series 10 has in fact wrapped filming. And that's really good for, you know, all of us to know because everybody loves Call the Midwife and it's a good show and it's a solid PBS series that's going to be running for many more seasons. And despite the delays, it is actually done and in the can. But it hasn't aired on BBC One yet. And part of the whole contract for imports that we get over here is that almost always they have to run on BBC One or BBC Two or ITV or whatever they're on first.
Like there are occasional exceptions to this, like the Call the Midwife Christmas special, for example. We tend to day and date here, and I think we day and dated the last season of Sherlock, but that took like a lot of negotiation.
Yeah, that was a big lift.
Yeah. So that's kind of why. And it's not, this isn't just a PBS thing either. A lot of times on stuff like BritBox and Acorn, you'll see new things arrive like basically the day after they stop airing on the BBC.
Bloodlands is a perfect example. Bloodlands is going to basically run its finale on March 15th and show up on Acorn TV. Its finale is March 14th and it shows up on Acorn on March 15th. Like that's the kind of turnover you get. With Call the Midwife, usually it plays on BBC One in January. It ends around March and then there's like about a week or two and then it starts playing over here. Since it has not actually played yet on BBC One, it's not going to show up here on time even though they finished filming. BBC One has yet to set a date, but PBS has suggested that it expects Call the Midwife to arrive here in the fall, which, you know, that's good news for us. We will be seeing it later this year, just in the fall instead of the spring. And I do look forward to watching it when it comes back. I really liked season 9.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. So we're definitely going to talk about it once it gets here. But unfortunately, that will not be in the spring.
Well, the thing is, though, is that like almost every major PBS sort of property that I've heard that might be coming this year, and a lot of this, let me caveat this, a lot of this is very up in the air. I'm assuming all of you already know that because looks around at the world generally. but like I personally, for me as a viewer and a fan, I am curious about what's going to happen because there are multiple sort of PBS franchise shows that are all like, oh, it's coming this fall. And I just think there's going to be like a very significant traffic jam when we get to like September.
Absolutely. Another one that is actually airing right now over in the UK is Unforgotten, which is a show that picked up a really big, surprisingly big following when it aired seasons 1 and 2 back to back, I believe in 2018. In the spring of 2018, they basically brought over like seasons 1 and 2 and just ran them all together as like 1 6-episode block where they took the 6 episode. Basically, they did the in some cases we
is
get
it, is it the thing where like the mysteries are 2 episodes but we put them together into 1 episode?
Yes, exactly. So basically, yeah. Like instead of getting 6 episodes per season, which is how it ran in the UK, we got 6 episodes all together, 3 2-hour blocks 3 2-hour blocks of season one and then 3 2-hour blocks of season two back to back. And actually, with Unforgotten, that was a really good thing because season one, like, the so the concept, for anyone who hasn't watched Unforgotten, it's basically a cold case show. And the idea,
I mean, I include myself among those numbers.
Okay. So Nicola Walker is basically the, she plays DCI Cassie Stewart, and Sanjeev Bhaskar plays her DI Sunny Khan. And the two of them are basically cold case solvers. They've formed a division within London's bureau in which they go and they find cold cases. And the cold cases bring out like some amazing cast. Like I want to absolutely emphasize, like, season one had like Bernard Hill and Ruth Sheen and Gemma Jones. Like they had like amazing, like, this was like, it was a murderer's row of actors that they brought in. But the problem with series one was that it did a cold case that was 40 years in the past. And it made it had a real difficulty in making the conclusion feel relevant to today and feel like it was actually justice. Like, you could see what the show was trying to do, but it didn't work. Series two, on the other hand, had a much later set their murders much later in the 90s, and so it felt more immediate and like it actually mattered to these much younger characters who were the suspects, that what happened, that them being punished or not punished for what they had done, you know, 20 years ago, actually felt a lot more immediate and like it mattered more, I guess.
I've heard such good things about this show, though, even though I've never seen it. So I'm curious.
When it shows up in the fall, I am very excited for this show because I think you will like it. I do. I think you'll love Nicole Walker.
I mean, I love Nicole Walker generally.
Right. So series three actually did really well over here. It ran as six episodes the way it's supposed to. It had Kevin McNally and Emma Fielding. And like, again, every single season has like a murderer's row of actors that come in as the guest stars, suspects, etc. Which is part of why this show works so well. But it's also extremely formulaic. We'll discuss that when we get there. But honestly, I think the fact that the formula works so well is why they stick to it. Anyway, so that's
the fall. That's coming in the fall.
Yes, that is part of our traffic jam of shows that's coming in the fall. And honestly, this is the thing. I actually think that the reason even though they say fall, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it comes at the very end of August and fills what I think of as the Endeavor slot.
Hmm. Yes, that's right, because Endeavor is not coming back until 2022.
Yes.
Probably. I know they had some pretty serious like filming delays related to COVID lockdowns and stuff. Or rather, I think it was sort of like a waterfall effect. Like, the cast members were involved in other things that got delayed because of COVID
yes.
lockdowns, and then it sort of just like spiraled out of control.
Basically, like, you know how we talked about the Downton Abbey movie a couple weeks ago, where like the thing was it wasn't about like that they didn't want to make a movie. It was about getting this entire like massive cast of people basically to line up a section of 6 weeks all at once at the same time where nobody was doing anything and they could just actually film. That's the thing about Endeavor, because Sean Evans, of course, as Endeavor Morse, is like the iconic actor. But, you know, we also have, you know, Roger Allam, and we have Antoine Lesser as like basically the two secondaries in this show, and both of them are, you know, basically huge names, and they have other projects that they do. And so like it you know, when they missed their window of lining everybody up, it then became, when can we get the next window? Now, at this time, I think it was last month or something, ITV did confirm that new episodes, that Endeavor season eight will come to ITV in 2021. But my reading on this is that it's going to come in late 2021. It will basically air over there in the fall. And that PBS, rather than attempt to like smash it in the winter or in early spring, will simply accept that we skipped a year and air season eight in the summer in its usual spot.
That is the gist I got with an interview with the new Masterpiece executive producer. I think it was TV Insider. It was a really good, mm-hmm. a really good interview. And that was the gist that I got, that they were basically just accepting that Endeavor was skipping a year.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think that's such a bad thing. I mean, the thing about Endeavor is that it has a built-in fandom that will wait. Right? Like, Endeavor people are patient. This is the third show of three in a row. It's been airing for years. You know, sometimes you miss a year. It's okay. It keeps going. It'll come back. And because it's also kind of a short, all the seasons are kind of short. They're usually 3 to 5 episodes a season. Like, missing a year is not like, it's not like Grantchester, which is much more soap opera-y, and you feel like losing a year would actually kind of like throw things in that way, whereas Endeavor is kind of, I don't know, it just it is what it is, and it will keep being what it is, and it's not gonna evolve in any way, so it doesn't matter if it airs this year or next year.
True. It is, I think, a bit more self-contained in that way.
Yeah. So speaking of Grantchester season 6, they were supposed to start filming in September, and well, as people will remember, lockdown 2 was sort of got in the way of that a bit. Now, the show did actually start filming in late 2020, and it is expected, again, like Endeavor, to air in late 2021, which, again, I don't actually know if that means that they'll try and rush Grantchester in the spring for us, or if they will also just skip a year in the same way with Endeavor. I feel like Grantchester is less of a show that can hold that, but I don't know. And again, this also depends on, like, you know, there's so many moving factors when we talk about this. Like, right now, the one thing I think we can really say about next year is that we know that we're probably going to get All Creatures Great and Small in January. But we don't know if we're going to get, say, Miss Scarlet along with it, like we should.
I can confirm, because they just tweeted about it. The actor who plays Siegfried, Samuel West, I think, mm-hmm. just yes. tweeted like 2 days ago a picture that they had started filming again.
Yeah.
So, or at least within the past week. I don't know. Time. What is time? But yeah. It's like that's currently on. Like, that is at least started.
Yeah. So I feel like if, say, you know, we have All Creatures Great and Small, but we don't have Miss Scarlet ready to go in the winter, I wouldn't be surprised if Grantchester wound up there, say. Because I feel like it's a show that audiences are less likely to want to wait in that way. Like, they're more impatient. And that Grantchester kind of needs that yearly, you need your yearly dose of Grantchester as best you can, to keep it going. It's not a show that would do as well by losing a year. Speaking of which, I don't have a lot of information on Miss Scarlet. I tried really hard to find stuff on it, but even though, like, technically you can start filming in Northern Ireland again, I believe, there doesn't seem to be any action on that, and I'm a little sad about that.
Yeah, I trust Rachel New, though.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there is a desire to keep going on that show, and there is a real fandom behind that show. And I believe wholeheartedly that show will come back. I just don't know when. And it may just be a matter of, you know, we just have to wait. The other show that we should have gotten a season 2 on here is a Baptiste season 2, and we actually know that Baptiste season 2 was filming, because we had pictures from that.
We did, because it was they featured our girl Fiona Shaw.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna keep hoping for Baptiste, because I loved The Missing so much, and The Missing changed so much between seasons, that I'm hoping that Baptiste decides to, you know, go in different directions this time that are better.
I mean, reading the sort of synopsis for what season 2 is supposed to be, it sounds kind of dark and like Baptiste is having a crisis after the whole, like, whoops, just discovered my son dead now problem. So I think he, like, I don't know, goes to the woods to live deliberately or something. But yes, that was my subtle English major reference, folks. anyway. I didn't really like that show, so it can take its time. But I do like Fiona Shaw, and I hope that she gets stuff to do.
Yeah, I don't know if Baptiste will be back in 2021 for us. Since there it got to the point where you actually got like real pictures from it, I feel like we will definitely see it air
like
over...
in legit like press photos, right. Not like a dude with his iPhone in the woods.
Right. Yeah, like those pictures that you get from like Marvel movies where somebody is clearly like taking pictures.
There's a very active Doctor Who like community that shares a lot of those kinds of photos. But you know, it's a dude and his iPhone.
Yeah.
Or a lady and her iPhone.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be like gender specific here.
Yeah, but honestly, like, yeah, whereas Baptiste actually put out like real press photos, so I would not be surprised if we saw it airing, if we got news of it airing, say, in the summer of 2021 over there, and you know, it wound up being either a late 2021 entry over here or an early 2022 entry.
There really is so much at the end of the year, beginning of next year, and I guess that's good and bad. It'll be like an embarrassment of riches whenever it finally all does get here, but what are we going to watch this summer?
Well, that's... Okay, and now that's where...
Or this spring, for that matter.
So some of the shows that were mentioned at the TCA panel for the upcoming lineup included Magpie Murders, which we discussed a little bit when we talked about the BritBox. We talked about BritBox a few weeks ago.
Oh, wait, isn't this is the Leslie Manville Renaissance?
Yes, yes. I this is the Manvillaissance. Yes, I am here for that. That one got name checked. Around the World in 80 Days, starring David Tennant.
Yeah, I know that one also had a big like filming delay, like kind of in the middle of it, but I think it finished. Although, to be honest, off the top of my head, I'm not. Where is that even coming to in America?
So filming resumed back in November. After production was basically like in the middle of, they were in the middle of production last March. And it probably would have been an early 2021 debut over here. It started back again in November. Right now, I believe, let me see. Actually, I don't think it has an American distributor other than PBS. I believe it really is going to come to PBS.
Huzzah. That feels like a fit, too. So.
Yeah. Basically, like the Deadline's article talks about the BBC and RTS in Switzerland, but it doesn't actually mention whether or not it will be, you know, coming to Masterpiece or not. The only thing I have about that is that it's in the transcript so that I know that I know that PBS is talking about this. I first of all, Around the World in 80 Days is a classic story. You know, it's a great period.
I mean, because if you remember back in the early days of Masterpiece, it was called Masterpiece because it was showing things that were based on
masterpieces,
famous works of literature.
Yeah. So Around the World in 80 Days is a perfect fit. You know, David Tennant is a favorite around here.
Yes, he is.
Not just because of Doctor Who, but, you know, just in general, like his body of work. So honestly, like once I the fact that it's been filming again since November, and it got mentioned to me suggests that this is one of the shows that we can expect to be, you know, a surprise arrival, maybe in the summer, maybe in the fall.
I would be okay with that. We all know how I feel about David Tennant.
Oh, I now that I think about it, you're probably going to seize that. You're going to seize those recaps, aren't you?
I am.
The other one that was mentioned in the transcript, let's see, Leslie Manville, Around the World, Endeavor, Grantchester, Unforgotten, Baptiste, Vandervalk, Ridley Road. So this is an adaptation of a Joe Bloom story of a young Jewish woman who goes undercover in a neo-Nazi organization. It's a period piece, but it's like more like 1960s period piece. So like, even though it's Nazis, it's neo-Nazis from the 1960s and the rise of white supremacy in the UK more than it is World War II. It was in production as early as September of this past year. So that means that it's probably finished filming, though at this point there isn't, again, it has not aired. The problem is that nothing has aired over there yet. And we can't really know when things are going to air over here until we know when they air over there because of the delay. And PBS, you know, as I noted earlier that, you know, Bloodlands is literally a day after for Acorn. But with PBS, there's always a longer delay. Even if it's only a couple of weeks, it's always a longer delay. Like, we don't get that. We don't get that fast a turnaround.
Well, also, I mean, in PBS's defense, Acorn is a streamer that is not tied to specific, you know, like Masterpiece airs on Sundays.
Right, exactly.
That is the Masterpiece time. And it's very like, you know, there's only so many Sundays in a year and there's only so many time slots on Sundays in a year. So Acorn and other, I don't mean to just call out Acorn on this because like Netflix and BritBox are the same. But like if it's a streaming thing, like the concept of like this must come out on a day is antiquated.
Right. No, they are a gaping maw in need of content. Right. Like they don't care when it comes. Seriously, they have 365 days of to fill.
Yeah, like they have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just the image of Netflix as a gaping maw was just entertaining to me.
Honestly, like that's the thing about, I mean, Netflix really has learned how to fill that. Like they have 60 originals every month. 60. My brain. Anyway, where PBS would never, PBS wouldn't need 60 originals in a month. Like that's a ridiculous number. Of course it wouldn't need that, right? Masterpiece gets 4 Sundays with 3 slots at most, right? 5 Sundays on a really long month, right? So yeah, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. So yeah, again, like I actually think Ridley Road is the kind of thing that you and I would totally love. Like it stars Aggie O'Casey, who is I couldn't find a lot on her. I don't think we've seen her in anything over here.
I think she's this is going to be like a big sort of debut role for her.
Ah, okay.
Kind of like Nicholas Ralph on All Creatures.
That would make sense because I kind of was digging for her and I couldn't find anything. But basically, the story is about Vivian Epstein, who moves from Manchester to East London after the death of her father. And she's basically looking for like an ex-boyfriend. And it sort of gets her involved. And basically what accidentally happens is that she gets involved in London's anti-fascist movement of the time and winds up infiltrating NSM, which was the big neo-Nazi movement of the 60s in London. And, you know, this is basically going to be a swinging 60s period piece. You know, basically it's got mystery elements. It's got history elements. It's, you know, of course it's timely. So I think this could be a really good one for us. And I'm really hopeful for it.
It sounds like one that I would like.
Yeah. So, yeah, that again, I really hope that comes earlier rather than later. But again, like, I don't know if that will show up in the summer or not. Instead, one thing I do know we're getting this summer is Guilt.
I mean, I have a lot of guilt right now. I don't know if I need like a whole show about it.
It was this aired in the
#UK Catholic jokes. and I do think there's another one called Us.
Yes, Us is the other one. Hold on, I'm trying to figure out where I have that. Okay, so Guilt, first of all, this aired in the UK in 2019. So this is an older one that basically PBS seized as it hadn't aired over here yet. You know, it was available. I believe it was actually BBC Scotland that it aired on. And it's basically it's a 4-part drama that basically where a pair of friends get involved in a hit and run and try and hide it, and the guilt basically overtakes them. Is sort of the is sort of
a very literal title.
Yeah, very much so. Us is the other one that's definitely coming in the summer.
I know it's based on a book because Carmen, our contributor who has guested on the pod before, literally asked me if she could take this like months ago.
Oh wow.
She loves this book apparently.
Okay. This also already aired.
Hi Carmen.
This aired already on British TV too. I think actually this aired last year, though it might have also been 2019. Honestly. Right, what is time? It was a BBC one, and it's Tom Hollander, and basically he's trying to convince his wife not to leave him. And I believe it, I don't remember who plays this. Where is that tab? Sakisa Reeves. Basically, it's the story of the Petersons, and I'm gonna butcher his last name.
From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, he basically plays the young version, and basically we get to see their relationship sort of out of order in that way. Like, we get to see like how they were as young people and now how they are 25 years later as he tries to get her to fall back in love with him. And I think this we don't do a lot of like romances here in that way, and I feel like this is very much kind of a romance. In a way, like a romance drama. So I don't know how it will play, but I'm actually quite excited for it.
I do feel like, at least I'm trying to like find the upside of the fact that all the shows that we want won't be back until the end of the year, if not next year. But I feel like this is at least opening a window for some sort of lesser known, lesser seen properties to finally find a distributor in America.
Exactly. I think Ridley Road is the kind of thing that I feel like wouldn't actually have made it over here. It would have, you know, wound up in the wilds of Hulu or something. But because, you know, PBS is in need, like, we're going to get that. I feel like Us is another one that probably isn't quite what we usually get on Masterpiece, but because we are in the situation we're in, we live on, you know, we live in the multiverse of Earth One. Sorry, guys. But it is also a chance to see stuff that we don't usually see.
Which, considering, you know, some of this stuff never even made it to America on streamers, this is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. No, like, honestly, like, I'm very curious about Guilt. I'm very curious about Us. I don't know if I have more hope for Us than I do for Guilt. But honestly, like,
it sounds like you're talking in code.
I also am kind of amused by the fact that we have all of these shows that are like single word.
No, really.
Yeah. But you know, I think these could be good. We'll have to see when we get there. I have to say that honestly, like, if I'm not going to get my usual Grantchester fix, you know, early this summer, I think Us, it sounds like something that I wouldn't mind filling the gap. Whereas with Guilt, you know, I mean, I don't. I like thrillers. I like mysteries. On one level, this sounds like the sort of thing that I should like. But at the same time, like, I looked at it and I was just like, two guys that get involved in a hit and run and kind of try to cover it up is sort of,
It's not new. This is not a new story.
Right? And like, I don't feel like it's going to pleasantly surprise me. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not sure that this is gonna fill that gap that Endeavor's going to leave. Like, I feel like Unforgotten is a much better choice to fill the Endeavor slot. If we think of, you know, certain points of the year as being slots. I will note that I also tried to find information on World on Fire Season 2, since World on Fire Season 1 is getting a re-airing along with Atlantic Crossing. And I couldn't find a lot on that.
I have a feeling it's because we're still in the middle of all of this, and that is a show that definitely films in various international locations. And I suspect that has a lot to do with why it may be stalled.
Yeah, in the same way that Miss Scarlet seems to be sort of hit a wall that there's no information on it. I feel like World on Fire is in the same sort of boat, and that until we get to the place where the world really does sort of open up and international travel is, you know, normal again, and filming, you know, these big sort of, you know, continent spanning kind of shows is not this hard, that a show like that we won't get World on Fire back until we reach a much more open world than we are in right now on March of 2021.
I agree. Yeah. While we are running a little bit long, I don't want to do this episode without at least mentioning some of the non-PBS stuff we're looking forward to this spring.
Oh, yes.
There are options out there for folks, even if it may be a little more limited. And sort of the word that just popped in my head was muggy. Like, it's a little, like, it's messy right now.
Messy is a good word.
The biggest one I can think of for me personally, because we all know I love Jenna Coleman, is that Netflix is bringing The Serpent to America in April. I want to say like the second or third. It's pretty early in the month.
It's the second.
And it is mixing two of my favorite things, period dramas and true crime, about a serial killer in the 1970s?
Yes, the 1970s.
So that means amazing fashions too, who killed a bunch of people and went a long time without getting caught. And Jenna Coleman plays his accomplished slash girlfriend.
Basically, he was sort of a bit of a Charles Manson figure. He actually had a lot of women around him who did his bidding. And basically, it's set on what's known as the hippie trail back in like the 60s and 70s when Empire was still like rolling back and sort of collapsing, especially around India and Nepal and Pakistan. You would get white people, British white people, but also European white people, who would basically go to India and walk the hippie trail, which is sort of like the old Silk Road. And it was basically like a cheap way to do tourism. And once the Beatles got really into like Eastern culture, like this became a real fad.
The show was crazy popular.
Yeah.
In the UK.
Yeah.
It was like the most successful show on iPlayer in how many years? Like it was a big hit there.
Yeah.
So.
It was the biggest non-BBC Three hit in quite some time. BBC Three, which BBC Three, by the way, is coming back to actual linear television. But for the last few, BBC Three has been online only. So most of iPlayer's quote unquote big hits have all been BBC Three shows because you can't watch them any other way. So like Normal People, for instance, would be a perfect example of that. Whereas The Serpent is not a BBC Three show. It's a BBC One show, and it became like iPlayer's biggest show in like years. The Serpent is one that I'm very excited for. It was huge over there, and I'm hoping that Netflix will be able to sort of hit big with it the same way that it sort of hits big with certain things. The Irregulars is another one that is coming. This is actually coming at the end of the month of this month, the 26th. The Irregulars is a Sherlock adaptation.
Sort of.
It's basically someone looked at Enola Holmes and said, Millie Bobby Brown on Sherlock, why don't we just do Sherlock Stranger Things? And this is what you get. I am actually quite pleased with it. I can't talk too much about it because it's mostly under embargo right now. But the show, from what I've seen so far, looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. There's also in weird period pieces, there's also going to be The Nevers, which is over on HBO.
I am very excited for this, and I don't entirely know why.
So the thing about The Nevers is that it's a Joss Whedon joint, and
never love anything is what I'm saying.
I think that's part of the reason why like there's a real fandom like excited for this. But some may have heard, there have been some rather ugly accusations against him as a director and showrunner in the last month. And he notably stepped away from this project a few months ago I don't remember what the reason that they stated was, but it was not really a reason. It was sort of like, he's just leaving now, bye. So I'm very curious to see how this show turns out, because, you know, when something like that happens behind the scenes, it can really change a show.
Yeah. As someone who spent a lot of her formative years loving Joss Whedon's Buffy the Vampire Slayer universe, I have a lot of conflicting feelings about him right now. Most of them are not good. But also, this is a show about like Victorian ladies with powers, which is like a Venn diagram of my interests. So I may just have to pretend that Joss Whedon has fallen into the sea.
Yeah. And I think the last one that's coming off the top of my head, this is actually not British, it's Russian, it's Shadow and Bone. This is based on...
It's not really Russian.
Well, it's got a Russian feel to it. Like
it does.
And the
show isn't British, but it's based. It has a lot of British people in it. Ben Barnes looks really good. It's based on a very popular trilogy of YA novels that I love. Well, actually, more than a trilogy, series by Leia Bardugo.
Yeah, I think of it a little like the way that The Witcher is sort of based on Eastern European and Polish fairy tales. I feel like Shatter and Bone is pulled from Russian mythology in that same sort of way. It's got kind of a Russian feel to it. I would not be surprised if Shadow and Bone is as big as The Witcher. I haven't actually gotten a chance to watch any of it yet. But I'm hoping.
I have, and as somebody who loves the books, there is a lot to enjoy in it. There is a lot that is different.
Okay.
But I think it is. I enjoyed it, but I am also its target audience. So take that for what it's worth. One more I think you should mention, because you've mentioned it a couple of times in the show without explaining what it is Bloodlands, which I say only because I think we're going to do an episode on it at some point this month. So
Bloodlands is the first show from Jed Mercurio's new production company. Jed Mercurio is the guy behind Line of Duty and Bodyguard. And Bloodlands is, you know, again, it's in that same vein of mystery thriller, and it's a police procedural. It stars James Nesbitt, and it is basically it's going to be on Acorn. The first episode airs March 15th, and it's a four episode series in which basically a serial killer resurfaces who was active during the IRA years in Northern Ireland, and basically Nesbitt knew of him back then and failed to find him then, is now tracking him down now. And it's going to, you know, the historical backdrop of, you know, IRA activity in that time period and the disappeared are basically sort of the fabric and texture of what that underscore this mystery and this serial killer's like what inspired him and what made him be who he is.
Well, that sounds uplifting. But I like James Nesbitt, so I'll give it a go.
Yeah. And you know, this is one of those things where it's four episodes, you know, and honestly, like, I wasn't expecting to love Bodyguard. Bodyguard was one of the most riveting things I watched in 2018. So
give Richard Madden more jobs, people.
Yeah, seriously. And you know, Line of Duty has, you know, really sort of started to crescendo since Bodyguard turned into a big hit, and season 6 is coming to the BBC in the next few months and will also be on Acorn after that. I believe mid-May is, again, this is one of those things where it starts running over there, it ends around mid-May over there, and then will show up, like, you know, in a few days on Acorn after that. Fans of police procedurals who are sad that we don't have like a Baptiste or an Unforgotten, there are options. They're just, you know, not on PBS.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird, I know I probably don't need to tell anybody this, but 2021 is and will continue to be a weird, weird year. So bear with us as we try to find stuff to talk about that we think you guys might be interested in as we head into these next few months of messiness. Let's just say that. If you have something you think we should talk about, we are ready to listen to those suggestions, so send us an email at televisions@weta.org. Ta-da! Oh, yes, we are definitely running a little long today. So, Annie, tell the people where you live on the internet.
Let's see. You can find me at Annie Bundle on Twitter. You can find me at Miss Annie Bundle on Facebook. You can find pictures of my cats on Instagram at Annie Bundle. They are going to be a year old now. So I get some glow up pictures up on Instagram for everybody to enjoy.
You need to do that started from the bottom, now we're here, whatever it is.
Mine are
currently running into the door right now, so if you guys see hear any weird noises in the background of this podcast, that's why.
Let's see. I am a staff writer at Elite Daily, and I am a regular contributor to televisions.org. Let's see. I also do, you know, writing around the web. I'm still recapping American Gods over at AV Club. And I also have a couple pieces on WandaVision floating around, including over on Sci-Fi. So, yeah. Basically, if you just follow me on Twitter, I retweet all my bylines anyway, so that's just the fastest way to know what I've written. So just be my friend on Twitter.
Also, the cat pictures are good bonus content. I am also on Twitter at LacyMB, LacyMB, and I write a lot here at Televisions, as well as a lot of other places around the entertainment web, but I always retweet my bylines. So if you are interested in my strange Venn diagram of interests, which include period dramas, superhero stories, and, well, basically my cats. That's my life right now. Just be my friend, and you can see all of it. But if you just want the cat pictures, the boys are on Instagram at Baker and Hammer. Our little show and the site it supports are both on social media as well, at Tele_Visions on Twitter and Televisions Blog, all one word, on Facebook. If you like what you hear, we would appreciate some reviews and ratings on the podcast app of your choice. And we are always excited to hear from listeners. I will make a second pitch in 10 minutes for you guys to send us some emails at televisions@weta.org. Televisions is a product, surprise, surprise, of WETA. And if you like what we do, you can visit televisions.org and click on the donate button up top to help us keep doing it and support public media at the same time. That is the end of my spiel for this week in this eternal march that we are having. And I end it, as always, with please take care of yourselves, your loved ones, wear a mask, use hand sanitizer, avoid large gatherings if large gatherings are for some reason happening where you live, and please make a vaccine appointment as soon as possible. It's the only way we are all going to get out of this, and that is together. Take care, and we will see everyone next week.